Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't say that I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
My boy Bobby.
Had to do it.
I'm going to tell you, that it's a strong, strong word. I mean, it's a feeling. I don't know that I've ever hated anybody the way I hated Bobby when he did that.
Oh, I believe it.
And I'm not even a rabid fan, if you will. I remember topping that hill in Fayetteville. Thank you, man.
It's loose gravel, man.
It wasn't no loose gravel. I think she was driving, by the way.
Yeah, you've told me that theory, and it's a damn interesting one.
Man, the first time after that happened, I topped that hill and saw, like, if you've ever been driven to Fayetteville, man, you top that hill in the mountains up there, man, and you top the hill and you're looking down at the whole university, the baseball field, football. You see it all right when you come over the top of that hill on the highway. Hey, man, my heart just, I was just like, F you, Bobby, you piece of. Oh, boy, I was, whew. But he's back, baby. He is back.
There are not some students in the student section at this damn Aggie Arkansas game on Saturday that are not all wearing some sort of like neck brace thing as a way to get themselves on television, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. Maybe you're talking about your guys?
No.
There ain't nobody in Arkansas. No, hell no. We're glad to have his ass back.
No, it's just fun.
We were on top of the damn world. I mean, that sucker had Mallett in the BCS Bowl and Tyler Wilson ranked number 4 in the preseason before the wheels come off.
Your fellow Razorback Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was, boy, I tell you what, I don't know if anybody's going to fit that job better than Bobby, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Aggies Razorbacks this Saturday at 2:30. 2:15,
yes, 2:30. The ass whooping will begin.
Another one of those games where if the Aggies want to be taken serious, they cannot afford to lose this one.
Facts.
It is not going to be an environment that's going to be just difficult to play in. But I'm going to tell you what you do got to deal with is Taylen Green and Bobby Petrino. They can hang half a hundred on you if you mess around and let them. And they can be hard to keep up with. But with our defense, whew,
did you ever watch Bobby?
Over. The over is still the bet, Arkansas. I don't even know what it is. I bet it's lower. The number's probably lower now than it was back when we talked about it last time, Tyler. But book that sumbuck right now and let me get 100 on it. MLB announces the Rawlings Gold Glove finalist. The winners will be announced on ESPN at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, November the 2nd. And the Astros, we have two finalists on this list. All right, Mauricio Dubon seeking his second gold glove at that utility spot. Second in a row, right? He won it last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
And this one surprises me a bit. I mean, Cam Smith is seeking his first gold glove in right field.
Oh, Cam.
And I'm going to get to Cam, and I'm gonna circle back to where some of y'all need to apologize to my boy Ron. But let's talk about Dubon. One of my favorite Astros, by the way. Is that strong? Is that strong, Tyler? One of my favorite Astros?
No. I feel like he's a fan favorite. He brings his game wherever he's playing. Yeah, I like it.
I feel like given our center field situation, not necessarily this year when Jake was healthy, but previous years, and I feel like our left and right field situation, if we're being honest, over the last couple of years, I'm shocked that Mauricio Dubon did not find a way to start and be an everyday starter. I get the super utility guy, but boy, having the super utility guy at your fingertips when it outweighs a starting player starting every day and playing, that is a hard traditional baseball reality that's hard for me to wrap my head around a lot of times, Luke, if I'm being honest. But Mauricio Dubon is one of the most versatile defenders in Major League Baseball. He ranked 3rd among AL players in outs above average with 19. You care to define off the cuff outs above average? Do you have that one?
Compared to the average player, how many more outs they can give you in the field.
Okay, there you go.
That's my best explanation.
So he was 3rd among AL players in outs above average with 19 of them, by the way. first Astro player in history to start at seven different positions in consecutive seasons.
Oh, wow.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
What, can you name them all?
Well, everything except pitcher and catcher, right?
I guess there's nine, right? Yeah, so he didn't catch. He did not catch. Did he pitch, though? No, that was White Boy Chaz. Yeah. That was Chaz McCormick.
They care too much about
Artist
Dubon to put
known
him
as White Boy Chaz.
They don't want to put Dubon on the mound. They care too much about him, unlike Chaz. They probably should have tried him at catcher, though, with how bad the catcher position was defensively this
that
year.
That may be question of the year. I teed that one up for you, Luke. He started seven different positions. Can you name all seven? Yeah, you idiot. Everywhere but catcher and pitcher.
I feel confident
pitcher.
About this one.
That is great. You think he wins that one? You think Mauricio Dubon wins that one again? I mean, seven starting seven positions again.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, who was more utility than that?
I know, it's a good question. And just to clean myself up, the first time he won the award was 2 years ago, not last year. But
he didn't win last year?
No.
Yeah, that's my bad.
He might have been a finalist
all run
last
together.
Year. Yeah, 2 years ago. He might have been a finalist last year. I'd have no problem with him getting the award. I think he's worthy, and he's great to have as a utility guy. I think there's a ceiling to his ability. You know, I don't know if I want him as the everyday second baseman or shortstop or something, but, yeah, he's the perfect utility guy to have.
All right, and that brings us to where we got to have a conversation. Tyler, I know you, Luke, you may not be familiar with this, but there was a good bit. There was a good while when we were not real high on Jake Meyers.
Oh, I'm familiar.
And while I'm glad that the organization, at this point, I'm glad the organization was patient. There was a good run of about 2 years where being a finalist for a gold glove was about what a lot of the Jake Meyers defenders could hang their hat on.
I screwed it up.
And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a big deal. I downplayed it just to win the argument, but I thought it was a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, Luke, I'm happy for my boy. If Cam Smith is a finalist for a gold glove in right field at this point right now, then, I mean, are we serious with this award?
He was a really good right fielder.
I mean, he was a good right fielder, sure. But, I mean, half the year we were talking about how, I mean, his ability to play balls near the wall and his ability to get jumps and his ability. Now he was good for him, but I didn't realize he was one of the best defensive right fielders in the game.
I think it's more of an indictment on the rest of the league, which maybe speaks to your point. I think Cam Smith played a really good right field. I think it's something that, like, this rookie who's learning the position for the first time, the fact that he was one of the best right fielders statistically, it speaks more to, like, what are the rest of you right fielders doing?
Well, but Luke, he wasn't even in the starting lineup much late in the season.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
late,
the longer the season went on, I mean, you traded for a guy. I mean, you were playing. I mean, I understand the left-right thing, and that's another baseball, what am I looking for? One of those old-school, traditional ways of coaching and setting up lineups and everything, this righty-lefty thing. But, I mean, he wasn't even good enough or thought to be good enough to be an everyday starter in right field down the stretch, and all of a sudden he's a finalist for a gold glove. Like you said, I guess the rest of the league wasn't very good. So, but anyway, all you everybody out there that literally clung to Jake Meyers being a finalist for a gold glove for 2 years straight, and came at my boy Ron the show sideways. I think you're more full of bull today than I thought then.
Yeah, I mean, well, for
was that Patrick Creighton, by the way? Was that Creighton that always came at? Who was it?
Somebody, it was.
Really?
I think it was PC.
PC, yep.
I think PC, and he really threw around that gold glove finalist kind of deal, and so much so to where I think Ron called him the bronze glove.
Oh,
bronze
yes.
Glove,
yeah.
Center field.
Be cautious with Creighton.
I heard that.
Tonight.
Look, the Gold Glove Award, to begin with, I don't know what PC's thoughts or comments were, but it is flawed and it's overrated to begin with. I mean, Rafael Palmeiro won a Gold Glove as a DH in the 90s. He played 25 games at first base and won the award. It's a silly award.
What
to
did
begin.
You say?
Yeah, Rafael Palmeiro won the Gold Glove for first baseman, even though he only played
25 games.
He was the DH all year.
Did
so,
not know that.
I guess
holy
the other 137 didn't matter. Games
yeah,
don't matter.
Right. So it's
It's a flawed award. It's a silly award in a lot of aspects because also defense, we've gotten better nowadays than in the past, but defense in baseball is just hard to truly judge or try to compare one guy to the other or put stats to it. But I think my whole thing with the Cam Smith thing is good for him. I thought he played a good right field. I just think it's irrelevant. And I've seen a lot of Astro fans take this victory lap on social media or use it even throughout the year of bragging about how good Cam Smith is or going to be because of how good of a right field he played. I just think defense in baseball is vastly overrated. I mean, the greatest.
I've never been more in love with Luke. I love Luke.
The greatest Astro of all time, Jose Altuve, is your worst fielder.
We can't find a spot
right
for you.
Your other best, your best hitter on the team right now, Yordan, you don't want him in the field.
really happy.
The two biggest free agents this offseason, Kyle Schwarber does not play the field, and Peter Alonso was graded as the second worst first baseman this year defensively. So this whole idea of like, man, great for Cam Smith. He's this, what a great prospect, what a great year. He's the Gold Glover, yada, yada, yada. It's all irrelevant. He didn't do enough offensively. I'm glad he's a good right fielder, but you're not the number one prospect in baseball, or you don't make that trade just because, like, yeah, he plays a good right field. It's more about the offense. So good for him on being nominated.